Welcome in to another new NACE International podcast. My name is Ben Dubose, and I'm a staff writer with NACE Publications for Materials Performance Magazine and Coatings Pro Magazine. MP, of course, is the official membership magazine of NACE. And as we continue our interview series looking at the impact of COVID-19 on the corrosion industry, we've got some new perspective for you all today. So far in this series, we've largely been reaching out to industry companies and talking with their leaders about what they're experiencing out in the field. Today, though, we've got a couple of special guests from NACE itself, where things are also changing as we try and best position ourselves to serve the industry during what's basically an unprecedented time. One area where we've had a number of changes at NACE over the last few weeks is in education, and to help explain what those are, we've got a couple of leaders from our education team. First is Pam Nicoletti, Director of Education at NACE International. Pam, how are you?
I'm great, Ben. Thanks for having us today. I'm really excited to talk about the changes that we've launched in education just really in the past 30 days and to speak to your audience about that. So thanks for having us.
No problem. Thank you for joining. And we've also got Melanie Diaz, Senior Manager of Education Business Development at NACE. Melanie, how are you?
Wonderful. Thanks for having us, Ben. Again, like Pam said, we're very thrilled to tell the audience about what changes are coming and all the things that NACE is doing to prepare for a new work environment.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty positive story, I would say. Certainly no one's going to remember COVID-19 that fondly, but I think the way a lot of companies in the industry are responding with innovation, there's a very interesting story to tell, and NACE is appropriately at the forefront of that innovation. And before we get into the particulars of some of the virtual programs that you all are offering, Pam, I'll start with you. Just explain the timeline. Think back to early March before COVID-19 truly arrived. When was the moment that you realized that things needed to be expedited? I know some of these things had been discussed for a while, but when was the moment that you kind of kicked into high gear that, hey, we need to figure out sooner rather than later a new way to offer some of our education courses?
So, as you noted, we've been looking at the fourth industrial revolution in education and really across NACE for some time. And what does that look like to us, and how does technology affect what we do? And that has been never as more present than in education, quite frankly. We've always been driving to a future where we had additional learning options for students. And as you noted, we've been working on this for a couple of years, you know, having students get their manuals digitally, things like that. We've been putting in place to make this happen. While we didn't intend to launch it when we did, COVID changed those plans. And so in March, as we saw physical locations begin to shut down, governors and our president began to put restrictions in place about what could be open. We basically backed off of our face-to-face learning and decided to accelerate the blended learning and the technology that we use for students. So that happened probably early to mid-March. We started looking at the new, what I'm going to call the new normal. And so we started working with our development team, working with our operations team, working with Melanie's team to basically make that happen in a much shorter time frame. So we literally turned the first course around and offered it on the 29th of March was our very first blended learning course. And since then, we've had 21 additional courses be delivered. And we have hundreds of students that are participating in those across the globe. So we're excited about it. We view it as a new normal. I said that in quotation marks, but a good new normal.
Melanie, what's the early feedback been from some of the students that have done this? I'm sure companies have their motivations as far as moving students into blended learning over traditional face-to-face. Certainly these days, there's a safety benefit with that, and that's in the forefront of everyone's minds at the moment. But what has the feedback been early on in this process?
So that's an excellent question. What we are hearing has been mostly positive. I think, having said that, I don't believe we'll ever be at a place in the near future or the distant future where we'll be exclusively all virtual training, because there is a need for face-to-face training, and some people primarily learn through face-to-face interaction. However, there are those that are very interested, and the experience and the feedback has been predominantly very positive for a couple of reasons. The companies are their projects, their current work projects that they have their employees very invested in. Those projects have been cut in half today because of COVID-19. And as a result, they're looking for ways to keep their employees productive and engaged. And what better time than to invest in professional development? Of course, as Pam said, we don't have the option of doing a large group in face-to-face training formats. So this blended learning model works perfectly. And it was very intentional. It wasn't something that just kind of happened upon us. In fact, it was several years ago that our NACE board came up and said that we needed to convert 5 of our instructor-led programs into e-learning. And so this, to Pam's point, has been something in the works for some time. It's just the pace at which we have employed the new tools virtually has increased significantly and was definitely because of the trigger of the virus. So all in all, I would say that the feedback from the market is very positive. Companies are so thrilled that they can put their employees in our education programs and offer those virtually. So timing was the perfect storm, if you will.
If I could add on to that a little bit, Ben. So,
sure.
You know, one of the things that is really important to us at NACE is student feedback. And so we do survey the students at the end of every course and ask them for their feedback. How did this work? How was your experience? How did your instructor do? Ask them, basically, would they recommend the course to friends? And overwhelmingly, I'd say it's probably 95% are rating the experience positively. They're giving us suggestions for how to improve it. They're talking about this taking them out of the field less. There's all kinds of feedback we're getting from students that are really embracing the new courses and embracing the technology. So just wanted to add that, you know, talking about student experience, we'll talk a little bit about that. So.
Sure. And let's transition into exactly what the changes are. It's nice to hear that the early feedback has been excellent. But as far as what's different now versus the traditional model, what are the changes as they pertain to the blended courses?
Right. So let me start with that one, then I'll ask Melanie to fill in there, Ben. So the changes vary by course. So if it's a course that can completely be delivered via lecture, then it's 100% online. The students will still have breaks. They'll still have knowledge checks. They'll still receive a printed copy of their manual as well as the digital, but it varies by course. So if you take some of our most popular courses like CIP, the students will have a 2-day introduction to the content, the lecture, with their instructor online. Again, they'll have breaks, they'll have knowledge checks, they're going to get their manual, and then they will come into a face-to-face classroom for 3 days where we'll introduce the instruments. We'll test them on those instruments, and we'll do the coding lab experience that we're pretty well known for in our coding classes. So it does vary by class. We're looking at each set of students as a group of learners and trying to meet the needs of those students. So it's going to vary by class, and right now we have 8 classes that have been converted to blended or virtual learning, 8 different course types. So, like I said, it's different by class.
Yes, and I would add to that regardless of the platform, the delivery platform, one thing that NACE is known for is that there will always be that engagement piece between the instructor and the student and between student to student. So even though we've converted a lot of our programs virtually or a portion of them virtually, we build in those engagement pieces so that it is not a monologue. It's pretty known throughout industry circles that when you convert something to online, the engagement piece, you know, can be lacking unless you're intentional in the design of the conversion of that content into an online platform and making sure that you have those knowledge checks, group discussions, and Q&A between the instructor and the students. And those were definitely a piece of the puzzle as we began to move some of our content onto virtual platforms.
What are some of the investments in technology that you guys have made to kind of make sure that the experience is similar to what they might get in a traditional classroom setting?
Yeah, great question, Ben. So what you'll see is that the delivering education is not just as simple as setting up a go-to meeting and inviting people, right? You've got to be intentional on the design, on how you do it. So for us, it started with the registration experience. So we wanted to change how students were notified that they were going to be in a virtual class. We wanted to make sure that they got a digital manual. We wanted to be able to mail a manual to their house. Then beyond that, we wanted to ensure that our instructor core, our first class instructor core, and they're known so well by the quality that they teach with, that they were prepared. So we put them through training. We basically do a face-to-face interview with them prior to the training to make sure they're ready. We've also, in addition to making sure instructors are ready, and again, this is all not technology, but this is part of the preparation. Mm-hmm. And then we are encouraging instructors and reimbursing them for the cost of equipment they might need to really be skilled at delivering classrooms virtually. So examples of those might be tablets, might be higher definition cameras. Depending on what class they're teaching, we want to ensure that they have what they need, either at their homes or at a local center, and also ensure that they are prepared with that technology, that they understand how to use it, that they can troubleshoot it if they have to, and that we're there to support them, quite frankly, if need be. So that's another piece of that. So that kind of more than answered your question, but I wanted to give you kind of the scale of what we've done to ensure that for students, they're getting the same quality experience as they would have gotten if they'd come to a six-day class at NACE.
Interested in a career in corrosion or looking for a chance to sharpen your skills? Well, now you can take NACE International's industry-trusted courses right from your home. Choose from a comprehensive library of e-courses available on demand and covering several popular industry topics. Start, pause, bookmark the training to run errands, and pick up right where you left off. NACE training supports every stage of your corrosion career. Visit www.nace.org/online to browse and register today.
I know one big question on the industry's mind is about pricing, because from an economic perspective, this is not a good time for many people in this industry. What are the changes, if any, that NACE is implementing to the cost structure for companies who may be interested in having their employees take these courses?
So we've done a couple of things. So for our public online courses that we've been offering, that we've converted to a blended platform, we have offered, especially given the state of the economy that we're all globally dealing with, we've offered an introductory discount where we're taking certain percentages off the standard fees for people to register now through the end of our fiscal year, which is June 30th.
Okay.
And so that's one way we've offered the public is discounts from the standard rates. But also, this is something we've done in the past, but we're doing more of today. We're offering corporate discounts where if we have a company that has 5 or 10 or 50 employees that they need to go through a particular education program that NACE offers, we will give group discounts as well, which I know that the companies are expressing they truly appreciate, because right now cash flow is everything for organizations.
I would guess that another opportunity for cost savings is the fact that you have a lot of companies, be it for economic reasons or health and safety, they want to avoid travel costs. They don't want employees to be on the road the way they typically are. So with these courses, it's a way that potentially you can have some cost savings there as well. Pam, did you want to speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, Ben. So absolutely. We've always tried to place classes in regions where we see students in need of those classes. So we've always tried to be diversified. But having said that, we can't be in every community. We can't be in every state. We can't be in every country. And so with this, we can be in every country.
Yep.
So an instructor can be teaching from Houston, Texas, and reach across the world to students. They don't have to travel to Houston or a different location. Additionally, you know, when we do place for those students that need the hands-on experience, our intent is to structure those classes not only near them, but also to structure them around their schedule. So what you may see in a face-to-face class is that it's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, because that's a lot easier for somebody to take training on a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday and have less time out of the field. That's a big concern to a lot of our customers. You know, billable time When we're taking that away from them, they need to be able to save that.
How does the fact that more companies are having their employees work from home fit into this? I would think that on paper, when you have more folks that are at their desk, not out in the field, that that's a greater opportunity for learning-based courses like what NACE Education does. But have you seen any movement yet with regards to the work-from-home effect boosting interest in your courses?
We absolutely have. So the feedback from students, we see, I'm at home right now, my job site's closed down, this is great, I needed the training, I needed the certification, and I was able to get it while I was basically on lockdown at home. So we are absolutely hearing and seeing that. And Melanie, I know you've got some experience from companies that are coming to you and saying, hey, my entire workforce needs X, and this is a great time to get them engaged in that, and can you help us at NACE? We are designing custom solutions to do exactly that with companies.
Yeah, I actually had a company, a utilities company up in New York that had a large group of field supervisors who are currently, this gentleman shared with me that they're currently at 50% productivity because they're working on coding jobs, and those 50% of those coding jobs have been placed on hold as a result of the pandemic. And so, again, they were looking for ways to fully engage their employees in other areas on the every 2 weeks when they weren't busy. And given that they can do these online classes from the comfort of their own home or work environment or wherever they are currently, they saw this as a huge win. And then they're looking to put, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 55 different supervisors across the United States through our online program. So that's a perfect example of what Pam was just mentioning.
What are some of the challenges that NACE has logistically in making this transition for the students or the people taking your courses?
Yeah, Ben, I would say probably the biggest challenge is always the face-to-face need and the hands-on instrumentation. It's really important to asset owners and to people we work with that we get that hands-on experience to students. So what we're doing is we're trying to maximize the time when we have the students in those cases where classes do have hands-on-hand training. So we're going to maximize those training opportunities with students. We're not going to keep them in class when they're traditionally being lectured. We're going to do that blended. But when they do come to class, we're going to maximize that time. So our course developers have literally worked through scenarios with our instructors and with others on how we do that. So we've literally looked at those courses, said, you know, here's how we can make best use of the student's time, and let's do that. So that's been an ongoing effort for us, and it'll continue to be an ongoing effort.
We're finishing up this podcast with Pam Nicoletti and Melanie Diaz of NACE International. They work within education. My name is Ben DuBose, your host. I'm a staff writer with NACE Publications. As we finish up, I want to ask each of you what you think this summer is going to look like, what the challenges are, what the opportunities are within this new virtual environment. Also, I guess an appropriate place to start, and Pam, we can begin with you. For people that are listening to this podcast and want more information, where can they get it? Being the website, an email address. I know that it's not easy to have all the answers, but at least some of them I know are available online. What does the future look like, and what's the best way for them to find out more?
Sure. Thanks, Ben. So the website is www.nace.org/education. And pretty much everything we have, we try to keep it really up to date on the website as much as we can. Melanie can provide her email address. You can reach out to her. You can reach out to me. Our contact details are available online, LinkedIn. And I know, Ben, you can provide them as a link on the podcast. So
sure.
What does that summer look like? That's a great question. So, you know, every day when I thought I knew what the next month looked like, it changes. And so, but what we're seeing right now is that we're going to see some areas are going to reopen and some areas are going to be closed. Travel is going to continue to be restricted for students and instructors. We are going to see some face-to-face training. We have a lot of students interested in not only finishing up their hands-on pieces, but engaging in the full face-to-face classes, as Melanie noted earlier in the podcast. So probably we'll see a reduction in our face-to-face training, but an increase in our blended classes. We, like I said, we'll see some of the areas of the world opening. We're starting to see China come back right now. We've had four classes there in the past month, and we've got three more scheduled in the next month. So we're closely monitoring each area. The Houston Training Center will reopen the first day of June. So we will be back in business at a limited capacity, but we'll be back in business in Houston the first week in June. So it's going to be a mixed bag, but we're going to continue what we're doing on the blended side, and we're going to continue to try to meet students where they need the training that we offer and ensure that we're doing that as best we can.
Melanie, I'll transition to you for the last word.
As far as corporate agreements where an organization has multiple employees that may be interested in any particular of our NACE courses, either individually or a conglomerate of NACE courses, we offer corporate agreements. I wanted to mention that. And we also, not only do we offer online and blended programs, but for the face-to-face pieces, we offer in-house education as well, where we can take the training, as Pam mentioned, to the employer, to their organization, when those travel restrictions have been lifted, and health officials say that it's safe to do so. And if any company or organization or individual is interested in something like that, or so many licenses within multiple employees within an organization to take some of our online or blended programs, they are more than welcome to reach out to me at melanie.diaz@nace.org. And I'd be happy to issue a quote or just answer questions that they may have and come up with the right fit for their organization's training needs.
Melanie, Pam, thank you all so much for the time, and look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thank you, Ben. Really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and to connect with your audience. We're not seeing people enough, but it's certainly great to get to talk to them. So thank you.
No doubt.
Thank you, Ben.
Strong insight there from Pam Nicoletti and Melanie Diaz of NACE. I know for this ongoing series, we've largely been talking to companies out in the field, but they're not the only ones that are impacted by what's going on in the world with the COVID-19 pandemic. Obviously, we all are. And here at NACE, that's changing the way that we provide services for you, our listeners, our readers, our students in the context of education. And so I think Melanie and Pam are strong resources to discuss the motivation for the changes from NACE's perspective and how they're going, because now that we're in May, we've been through this for almost 2 months. The sample size is growing to where we can see what works, what isn't, and we're starting to get a foundation for what the new normal may look like moving forward. Now, things are progressively opening up, at least in some parts of the world, certainly here in Texas. Others, it's a lot slower. Regardless of where you are, though, the virtual environments, they should be around in some capacity for quite some time, at least until there's a vaccine, which does not seem to be on the immediate horizon. And so hopefully you learned a lot from that podcast, not just about what NACE in particular is offering with education, but about the considerations that I think a lot of us are weighing as we determine what the next steps are for business amid the COVID-19 pandemic. So that's where we will bring this episode to a close. As always, thank you so much for listening. If you want more insight before the next podcast and our ongoing series at NACE International, the best place to get that is online. NACE.org is the website for NACE International. Materials Performance, it's materialsperformance.com. And for Codings Pro Magazine, it's codingspromag.com. You can check that out for resources as it pertains to the corrosion industry, protective coatings, whatever it may be, everything going on with COVID-19 and what it means for business, what it means for your industry. We've got it, nace.org, materialsperformance.com, and codingspromag.com. We've also got print issues that are available in a digital format that come out on a monthly basis for MP, bi-monthly for Codings Pro, but the May issues for each just came out in recent days, so you can check those out at the website as well, and you can see what's going on in the print issues. Got a lot of quality technical content. So in addition to our obvious NACE plugs, I want to make sure we recognize what's going on at our magazines as well, because if you're a listener in the industry, you can probably gain some valuable insight from those publications as well. So with that, we'll wrap up. Again, my name is Ben DuBose. Thanks for listening, and please come back soon for another podcast right here at NACE International.